This is where business ideas and passions turn into profit. Whether you're dreaming of becoming your own boss, but don't know how to get started, or have already started a side hustle and wish to grow it exponentially, your host, Victoria Wick, can help you turn your passion-based business ideas into profit. Welcome to Million Dollar Passion. Here is your host, world-renowned jewelry designer and home shopping TV celebrity, Victoria Wick.
Welcome to another episode of the Million Dollar Passion Podcast. I have an amazing guest to talk about a topic that's been very, very close to my heart for probably all my life. Danny Brussell is my guest, and he's going to explain, to sort of unlock all the stuff that I was curious about. And many of you who listen to me over the, you know, all these other episodes know that I am very, very committed to education, especially children's education, and what's wrong with our system and how that could actually help entrepreneurs be better employers, better parents, better friends, better citizens, and how we can impact the world. So without further ado, I want to introduce to you Danny Brussell, this episode's guest. Welcome to the show, Danny.
Thanks so much for having me, Victoria, and thanks for spreading some joy. Entrepreneurs need a lot more of it.
For sure, right? We've got the real tough end of the stick the last few years.
Yeah.
So Danny, in just a few minutes, can you explain to us a little bit about your background and what you've learned teaching kids in inner city? Now, many people here, including my TV audience for the last 25 years, know my background. I grew up in inner city. I went to school in inner city, and it's a pretty tough environment to be a student there. But teachers like yourself have obviously choices to go to other schools, and you chose to stay in inner city and impact their world, which is very admirable. So tell me a little bit about how you became a teacher. Was it your dream your whole life, and your experience a little bit there, and the things that you wish were different, or how you want to impact the world now?
Great. Well, that's a lot to uncover. I'll try to give a shorter answer.
Do it in a minute. Take your time. Go ahead.
I have this bad habit of giving long answers to short questions. So, Victoria, it's ironic. I'm now considered America's leading reading ambassador because I hated reading growing up. My father was a librarian. I always hated the public library. It always smelled funny. The furniture was uncomfortable. There was always some elderly woman telling me to be quiet. There's always some freaky homeless guy that thought he was a vampire hanging out by the bookshelves. I always hated it. I had actually started my career as a journalist, and I had the greatest job in the world in Washington, D.C., working with all these editors of major dailies. And I got offered the city beat for a major daily for $16,500 a year. And then a friend told me that they were hiring teachers in South Central Los Angeles for $25,000 a year. So I became a teacher for the noblest of reasons, for the high pay. But it turned out I loved it. I was working with my little ones, and all of a sudden I noticed that they didn't have a lot of the advantages I had growing up, Victoria. I mean, I was blessed. We grew up, I was lower middle class, but we always had food on the table. Both of my parents were in the home. My parents always read to us in front of us, and we always had plenty of access to reading materials. And so that really became my passion. I think schools do an adequate job of teaching kids how to read. But the question I always ask people is, what good is it teaching a kid how to read if they never want to read?
Right.
I teach kids why to read because I've never had to tell a kid, you know, go watch TV. I've never had to tell a kid, go play a video game. And I never want to have to tell a kid, go read a book. I want them to choose to do it because they love it. And so that's really my passion. And you and I were discussing earlier, you know, entrepreneurs, I always stress to them, I've read about plenty of readers that don't necessarily become effective leaders, but I have never read about an effective leader who is not an avid reader. You look at some of the most successful entrepreneurs in the world. I mean, Warren Buffett reads basically 10 hours a day in his office. Elon Musk still reads at least one book a day. I mean, there's a model for all of us to pay attention to.
That's wonderful. So let me ask you then, you kind of answered why people don't read. I guess you didn't answer that. So tell me, why don't people read?
Because I think that's a good question, Victoria. I think the reason a lot of people don't read is because they were forced to read things they didn't want to read in school. I mean, when I was in high school, I was forced to read The Scarlet Letter by Nathaniel Hawthorne. And no offense to people who love The Scarlet Letter, but the book is about Hester Prynne commits adultery, so she's forced to wear an A on her chest. And I asked my teacher, I'm like, can I wear a B on my chest? Because I'm so bored reading this book. Yeah. And I want everybody listening right now to understand this. The research is very clear about this. It doesn't matter what you read. What matters is how much you read. It doesn't matter if you're reading James Joyce or James and the Giant Peach. People who read more read better. So for the entrepreneurs out there, if you feel bad because you haven't read Don Quixote or War and Peace, but instead you're reading Ryan Holiday and John Maxwell and Russell Brunson and, you know, entrepreneurial books, fine, go with that. I mean, that's what you should be reading.
That's interesting because I'm trying to think, you know, as you know, I'm the few days I don't have anything to read because, you know, my house is actually under construction. I'll go get an encyclopedia that's 30 years old because, like, for me, reading kind of allowed me to travel, virtually travel before today's, you know, internet, you know, back in the 70s, mm-hmm. allowed me to expand my horizons, you know, understand, really get an understanding of how other people live, how other people before me who have lived like, you know, three centuries ago did things. And, you know, you get an appreciation for how much easier it is for you, right? When you do things. So instead of complaining all day. And the other thing I love about reading is like, I don't have time to bitch about anything. I'd rather read another chapter or something, you know? So what do you think, in your opinion, will motivate people to read? I mean, and I say people meaning even young people, like, and it's really important that the young people really learn to read because I am concerned that the next generation of people, you know, middle school, elementary school, these kids are running around with iPads and they're just getting answers to whatever they want mm-hmm. on Google. A lot of times they're not accurate. It's anybody who pays to be on the top of, you know, whatever list it is. So how do we get people interested in reading? I'm assuming that it has a little bit to do with motivation. Like they want, like you said, it's easier if they want to do it, right?
Yeah, of course. So again, I love your audience because I'm an entrepreneur myself. So I always say that entrepreneurs are always paying attention to opportunities where other people just see challenges and dangers. And so the pandemic was a blessing to me because since as a speaker, I lost all my income speaking because there weren't any public events. I had to figure out another way to earn income. And so basically during the pandemic, I created the world's top reading engagement program online, which basically parents use in 2 months, just working with their kids for about 10 minutes a day. In 2 months, we'll get the kid to read more, read better, and most importantly, love reading. And we actually boost their reading by about 2 to 3 grade levels. And so really all I'm doing every single day with parents is I'm just, and teachers as well, is I give them tips on how do you get your kid engaged in reading. And so there's 2 numbers that are secret to my program. The first one is 67. So a lot of people will tell you it takes 21 days to change a habit. And to those people, I say, show me the research on that. It's a completely fabricated number. I know exactly where the number comes from. It comes from a wonderful book written in 1960 by Dr. Maxwell Maltz called Psycho-Cybernetics. Now, Dr. Maltz was a plastic surgeon. And in the preface of the book, he said he noticed it took most of his patients about 21 days to get used to their new faces. Well, a lot of self-help gurus, a lot of people I respect, by the way, they started telling people it takes 21 days to change a habit. And that's based on no research whatsoever. Well, in 2009, the University of London did a research study and they found that on habit formation, and they found it took anywhere from 18 to 254 days to change a habit. And the average was 66 days. Well, I don't like the number 66, so I threw in a bonus day, 67 days. And it depends on the type of habit you're trying to change. So for example, if you're trying to drink a glass of water before breakfast every day, that might take 18 days to form that into a habit. But if you're trying to quit smoking, that's going to take 254 days to change a habit. And here's why this is critical, Victoria, is let's say you go on a diet, you follow it religiously for 21 days, but on day 22, you fall off the wagon. Well, you blame yourself. And that's completely wrong because research shows us that it takes at least 3 times on average to form that habit. So the second number I want everybody to remember is 20. So researchers were trying to figure out what are the successful habits of successful students around the world. And they found a variable that just baffled them. They couldn't believe it. It was the number of minutes spent reading outside of school. So they looked at the low kids, the average kids, and the high kids. The low kids, the kids in the 20th percentile, your F students, your bottom feeders, they averaged less than a minute a day. That didn't surprise anybody. That's probably why the kids are at the bottom of the class. But this did startle the researchers. The kids in the 70th percentile in the middle, C students, average students, their average is 9.6 minutes a day. So when I'm doing a live training with parents, this is usually when the room gets really quiet, Victoria, and the first hand raises and a parent says, wait a sec, are you telling me if I can get my kid to read for 10 minutes at home every day, I can take him from an F to a C? That's exactly what I'm telling you. There's a lot of research to support this, but this was what really startled researchers. The kids in the 90th percentile, you're almost the top students, A-minus students, do they spend 3 hours a day reading for fun? No. Do they spend 1 hour a day reading for fun? No. The average was just over 20 minutes a day. My job is to help parents find those 20 minutes a day. And so there's two things that people have to be aware of. First of all, being read aloud to counts just as well as reading on your own. So for example, I ask parents, you know, how long does it take you to drive your kid back and forth to school? And they say, well, 10 minutes each way. And so I suggest, well, why don't you put in an audio book? You just took care of your 20 minutes going back and forth to school. The second thing that's important is, and I just showed you a suggestion there, they don't have to be consecutive. So you can do 2 minutes here, 5 minutes here, like what you're talking about, rather than listen to somebody spout off their extreme political positions, which I have no interest in. I'd much rather sit there and read an article in that amount of time. And so that's all I'm trying to do with people is show them ways to get engaged and read. Let me give your audience just a real quick tip. So I work with a lot of people in the inner city that say, oh, I have nothing to read at home. I'm like, oh, you do. President Bush Sr. over 30 years ago signed a very important law in this country that says every television set in America has to have closed captioning. So the first tip I give parents is turn on the closed captioning on the television. And parents will say, well, wait a sec. If the show's in English and the subtitles are in English, what good does that do? I'm like, well, that's a fair point, but let me make a point. Have you ever watched a show with subtitles and not looked at the subtitles? It's very difficult to do. Your brain is actually directed towards the text. There's research to support this. If you look at reading scores around the world, Victoria, the more kids watch TV, the lower their reading scores are in every single country except for one. The country with the highest reading scores in the world watches the most TV in the world. It's Finland. People always ask, well, how can that be? Well, Finland makes really bad TV shows. And so what they have to do is import Brady Bunch and Gilligan's Island, and they translate them and put subtitles on them. So it's a real quick tip for all the parents out there. You know, just start reading the subtitles, if nothing else.
Well, I think that number one, the parents themselves have to read as well. Because, you know, as I told you that I've got a whole family of school teachers, and they're dealing with a lot of parents who grew up not reading themselves. And they have no interest in reading. In fact, I talked to a pretty good friend of mine. I wrote a couple of books and I sent her a book for her to kind of just give me real feedback. And she said, you know what? I've never read a book. Never. And she's like 65 years old.
Wow.
And she said, you know, I was forced to read books in school and I was horrible at it. And I did the minimum number of, you know, like paragraphs or whatever she read. And that's the last book she ever read. And she never read another book. So you got parents who don't really want to read either. So that's the other thing. So Danny Brissell, actually, I didn't mention this earlier. He's the founder of thereadinghabit.com. And then for those of you who want to learn how to make reading sort of a training for reading, because like I said to you before, we are dealing with a generation of parents, like millennial parents today, that have not read. You know, millennial kids, and I've got two at home myself, and luckily for me, my kids were addicted to reading because I read to them since they were like very little. I didn't watch TV. Like in my family, because I'd rather read than watch TV, so I didn't watch TV. So my kids kind of grew up not watching TV, so they were reading. But I see a lot of my daughter's friends who are like 30 to 35 years old that had, you know, like mobile phones on their hips by the time they were in the middle school.
Yeah.
And they never, you know, they're Google searching quick fixes and they haven't been able to read. So we're dealing with the whole generation of moms now that, you know, when I grew up with the role model. My parents read all the time. We had over 10,000 books when we lived in Korea at home. You know, we had books in English and Chinese and all these, you know, my father just had incredible curiosity about reading. So, you know, of course I didn't speak English or Chinese, but I was wondering like, what the heck, why, you know, my father would just say such a pretty cover. And I was just curious about this person and I bought it and I was like, how are you going to read it? You don't speak Chinese, but you know, he had them. So, you know, imagine that you can get your children today to be sort of addicted to reading like I was, right? So if you're interested in that, go ahead and check out both the readinghabit.com and freereadingtraining.com. And I have to tell you, there's a lot of there's disclaimers on everything. You know, we got disclaimers on aspirin to drugs to whether or not you're eating, you know, a certain kind of food. But there never needs to be a disclaimer on reading. No harm can ever be really done about reading a great book. And it could be anything. It could be anything in any language. The reason why I love reading, and I would any of you, you know, parents who are listening right now, and most of us are parents and grandparents here listening, and maybe you might even have nieces and nephews, or maybe even you yourself, is that when you read a great fiction, for example, or you read even a how-to book, you know, how to make more money or whatever, usually there is the story starts out with something and there's a premise of a story. And, you know, it kind of shows you're kind of living through all the consequences of all the different actions, whether you're talking about a memoir or a how-to book. I mean, in my book, I go through like 20 different major mistakes that I wish I had never made. You know, that I thought was good and why I was thinking that this was going to be like the next biggest thing. And it just flopped, you know, and you learn and you do it again, you know, thinking you've learned everything, you know, you paid a huge price and you're this time you're a lot more careful. And then the next thing flops. Right. So like, you know, it could be inspirational motivation. It's all these things. And today books are so inexpensive. You can download outdated books that are great content still for $2, really.
For free. There's plenty of sites you can do it for free.
A lot of the stuff is for free. So really, I would highly encourage you to, and you know, when your kids are reading, addicted to reading, my kids, like they didn't actually have phones. I told them like, there's no reason for a 12-year-old to have an iPad. So my kids actually didn't have phones. And, you know, my kids argued with me, you know, every other kid has a phone. And I'm like, you know, do I look like every other parent? Like, I'm not doing that. So basically, I feel like that, you know, reading is important and we should all get back to reading, you know, and if you read a lot, you have an understanding and appreciation for things outside of your own little circle, outside of your own little world. And it expands your knowledge base, expands your understanding of people, tolerance, all these things that we wish we had more of as a society. So it starts with you, the entrepreneur, then your children, your inner circle of people. And, you know, I read somewhere, and I don't know if you've, this was like years ago. I read when I was pregnant, I was, you know, this was like 30 years ago now. I read somewhere, I was thinking about like, how do I make sure that I'm doing the right thing? Because nobody has a manual on a parenting 101, really, you know, for your unique child. And I read somewhere that when they looked at kids who school, you know, who were highly successful, the top 1% of all the Ivy League schools and all that, it wasn't that parents that, you know, put the kids in nursery school when they were like, you know, 18 months old. It wasn't the parents who pushed for them to, you know, be better. It was the parents who actually read a lot, who had tons of books at home. And so I would just say, and I'm just really making this point that you as an entrepreneur, same thing. There are, you know, I've done, those of you who listen to my show, you know, I've been on TV for 25 years, you know, coming here with speaking no English and doing 9-figure businesses for the last 25 years. You would think that I would stop reading. But just before we went on air, I was saying that I had already read 30 books this year. And this is like July, you know. Because I was able to go on vacation. So I actually made up for the time. And COVID allowed me to kind of do a lot of my work without actually having to show up to a TV station. So, you know, I was able to Zoom. It cuts out a lot of time as well. So, but the day you stop learning is the day you start to die slowly. That's my philosophy. If not physically, mentally for sure. And here's the other thing. My mother-in-law passed away at age 100. Almost, she was a few weeks shy of 101. Okay. Let me tell you, until like 3 weeks before she died, maybe until 3 days before she died, 3 weeks before she died, she was still, I mean, she knew everything about her treatment. She talked to her, you know, heart surgeon, the, you know, the gastro internal surgeon, everybody. And she, like, they gave her options. And, you know, she had a health directive to not interfere with any artificial devices. You know, she didn't want to prolong her life. All this stuff was done like years ago. And towards the end, her loved ones, you know, her grandchildren, her, you know, her children, you know, this is my husband's mom. We're trying to tell her you need a feeding tube. Like it's just a little tube just for 5 days or something. And she's reading this document at age 100.
Wow.
And, you know, she's a school teacher. But, you know, she read, she died in July. And that year, in 2021, she had already read like 50 books. And she goes to like two books. I wrote a book. It's a 94,000 word science fiction book, which she's never read a science fiction before. And, you know, I printed it all out like a manuscript. It was like pretty thick. It was 350 pages or something. Do you know, she would mark, you know, I started this, like, basically she would mark the dates, like, you know, April 30th, you know, at 4 p.m. And she would go, and, you know, she would like circle. Let me tell you, I paid like $5,000 for my editor to go through all the spelling mistakes and everything. And I had like a former HarperCollins editor to go through my manuscript. Okay, it's been got combed through. My mother-in-law is like, wait, no, whose uncle is this? Or, you know, she wrote all this stuff out and she said, this is a bad man. Or, you know, and she would say, this you in the uncle should be capitalized because it's you know, it's, I mean, you know, or the captain so-and-so. And she kind of basically made, I'd say, like 58 pages, 58 different mistakes like that my editors didn't catch at age 100. And she was done with the whole manuscript in 2 days. So, you know, and she was so sharp. Like she, and you know, like everybody asked, like, how can her mind be that sharp? What I found out was I did all this research to find out, you know, because I met a lot of other people that were like age 80 or 90 at her, you know, a place where she was recuperating. The thing is, what I found out was that people who are avid readers, their minds stay sharp until the end. That's kind of crazy, you know? So we really had a high quality time until the last 2 days when she was pretty much, you know, on medication, but she read her Bible. She literally, like, you know, did her normal activities, went on and still, she still had a book there. So she lived a pretty high quality life, even though she didn't travel very much. So I'm just saying, for those of you who are listening, whether you're a school teacher, if you are, you know, my hats go out to you, because I don't know how you can handle, like, I've got one grandchild and sometimes like I'm completely exhausted taking care of her for an hour. And you've got 30 kids in a classroom. That's a lot of responsibility. Whether you're a school teacher, you know, trying to motivate, because if you're a great teacher, you care about your children, you know, that are in your classroom and you want to motivate and you're looking for answers to motivate them. This would be a great place for you to start. TheReadingHabit.com, the free reading training.com.
Well, let me give you a better site than that. FreeGiftFromDanny.com. If you go to FreeGiftFromDanny.com, I'll give everybody in the audience, first off, an e-copy of my book, Read, Lead, and Succeed, which is a book I wrote for a principal who was trying to keep his faculty positively engaged. So I said, okay, I'll write you a book. So every week I give you a concept, an inspirational quote, an inspirational story, a book recommendation on a book you should read, but you're probably too lazy because you're an adult. So I also give you a children's picture book recommendation that demonstrates the same concept. You can read that in 5 minutes. And I'm also going to give everybody access to a 5-day reading challenge I did last summer with about 700 parents online. For every day, for 5 consecutive days, I spent an hour giving all kinds of tips on how to get you more excited about reading, because the more excited you are to read, the more likely you are to read, and the more you read, the better you get. Those are my gifts at freegiftfromdanny.com. And you had said something, Victoria, which I loved. You know, a lot of people are told to learn from their mistakes. And I'm like, well, that's crazy. You know, why should I learn from my mistakes as an entrepreneur when Victoria just mentioned to your entire audience that you have a book out there? People should be buying that book and looking at your entrepreneurial journey and figuring out, okay, what were her missteps? How do I avoid those missteps? And how do I surround myself with people that actually lift me up rather than pull me down?
Yeah, you know, that's really interesting, because my dad used to always say that a smart person learns from their own mistakes, right? But a super smart person actually learns from other people's mistakes. You don't have to make those mistakes. Uh-huh. So yeah, I love this topic. Thank you so much for coming in and sharing your knowledge and your dedication to this topic of reading. And the biggest complaint I get from all the entrepreneurs, and most of my listeners, quite a bit, few of them are successful 7-figure women who are already, you know, who've been in business like 10, 15 years. There are some people that are just starting out, but a lot of my listeners are people that have somehow persevered, balance their family and all that. But the one complaint I always get is that, and the question that I always get is, how do I balance, you know, my life? How do I live a more balanced life? How do I get, you know, take care of my family and my customers and everybody else and not feel exhausted? The number one thing I always get is, I don't have time.
Yeah.
You know what?
I always tell people there's no such thing as time management. There's only priority management.
Right. You make time for, you know, things that are important to you. I always, you know, in my courses, whenever I speak, I talk about how I, you know, every morning I wake up, there's like 30 things for me to do. And I always do the most important thing to me first thing in the morning. I don't leave it to last. And if reading is important to you, you can schedule 20 minutes. You know, you won't believe that 20 minutes, you know, runs into, you know, I read 2-3 hours a day, and I probably have a, you know, I've got a podcast, I got a TV show, I've got 2 books I'm writing, plus, you know, I do a lot of speaking. I got a lot of, you know, I've got kids and I got grandkids, and I'm taking care of my mother. You know, she's 89. Got plenty of money to take care of her. But, you know, at this time in her life, she needs family. So I'm the oldest. So I take care of her every day. So here's the thing. You can always find time for things that are important to you and your life and things that's going to change your life long term. So, you know, my only regret is, I mean, if I had my choice, I'd be reading a lot more. But, you know, I can still do 2 hours a day, which is quite a bit. So thank you so much for coming in. And for those of you who are listening, you know, this is an incredibly serious topic and a topic that's very close to my heart. And I really cannot recommend enough to you to get all these free resources to, you know, if you find that your children like to read certain types of books, that's a huge progress, right? Instead of not reading anything. And you're just going to be a happier person in the end and much more productive person in the end. So again, thank you so much. Check out all the resources. It's going to be also in my show notes. We're going to list all of Daniel's contact points on my show notes. And if you have not subscribed to this show, please go ahead and do so. And especially this episode, share it with somebody you know so that we can impact the world together. Anyway, until next time, please stay healthy and happy. And remember, happiness is a choice. And I hope you make great choices this week. Thank you.
You've been listening to Million Dollar Passion, where we turn dreams into reality and passion into profit. According to ancient Chinese proverb, a journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step. Congratulations on taking that first step today. For more information on how Victoria can help you turn your business idea into $1 million and to download Victoria's free ebook on passion-based business ideas, visit milliondollarpassion.com. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review the show on your favorite podcast player.